At 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. We're going to sing our first song that reminds us of Jesus stepping down into our world, taking on flesh, becoming one of us. We're going to sing the song, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe."
From heaven you came, helpless babe.
Well, this afternoon we're going to be reading through John chapter 19. So if you'd like to find a Bible, there should be one around you, because this is going to be the most helpful thing to look at this afternoon. We're going to read John 19, and as we go through, I'm going to highlight one verse that helps us capture what John is saying about the first Good Friday. So we're going to have someone read. They'll read a bigger section and then we'll focus in on a smaller bit. But you'll need John 19 open in front of you. And Tom Powell is going to come and read our first reading today. It's John 19, verses 1 to 7. And that is on page 1089 of the Red Church Bibles.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God."
Thank you, Tom. Here is the man. What was going on at the cross? What was going on at the cross? Was it a tragic mistake? Was it out of control? If you were there on the day, you might have thought so. But the truth is the complete opposite. In John's Gospel, we are called to see what is really going on. And so let's dwell for a few moments on John chapter 19 and verse 5. John chapter 19 and verse 5. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." Pilate, the Roman governor, calls out, "Here is the man." Jesus has been handed by his people to the Gentile leader, to the Roman governor, to Pilate. He is rejected by his own. As John has already told us right at the start of his gospel, Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The word of God took on flesh. Jesus came to be one of us. But why? The answer: so he could die in our place. Just notice what they put on Jesus' head. Verse 5. A crown of thorns. You see, the details in John's Gospel are not random. The details in John's Gospel are important for what is truly going on. If you have eyes to see, you will see what's going on here. Here is the man. Here is the man who is standing right where his people ought to be standing. Isaiah chapter 5 tells us this. God is speaking of his people. He says, "Now, I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. and he looked for justice and he saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Here is the man, Jesus, taking the judgment that his people, Israel, deserve. But more than that, here is the man. On the cross, the Lord Jesus is taking the punishment that every man deserves. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. That is the curse from Genesis chapter 3. Thorns will grow from the ground. Thorns, a picture of curse. Thorns, a picture of curse taken personally onto the head of the Lord Jesus. The sin of humanity laid on that man. The crown of thorns. Is this a mistake? Is this death here out of control? To those around Jesus, standing around the cross, it might look like it. But if you have eyes to see, if you have eyes to see at the cross, you would see Jesus taking the punishment that is prescribed for each and every one of us. The Word of God took on flesh. The Word of God became one of us. The Word of God came to die for each one of us. Here is the man. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus, the Word of God, who was God and is God, became flesh, became one of us. Thank you that in our place condemned he stood. Thank you that he took on the punishment that was rightly ours, and he paid it himself. We praise you that the Lord Jesus was pierced for our transgressions, that he was crushed for our iniquities, that the punishment that brought us peace was on him. We praise you that every sin was laid on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Thank you that if we have our trust placed in him, there is nothing, absolutely nothing left to be paid. So this afternoon we pray, Lord, that you would make us aware of our sin, but even more aware of your mercy in providing a substitute for us. Help us to really grasp just what was done that first Good Friday and what we now have because of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing our second song now, a song that picks up on the language we've just read. It's the song, Man of Sorrows, What a Name, for the Son of God who came. Hallelujah, what a saviour. So please stand as the music starts.
Thank you.
Our second reading this afternoon from John chapter 19 is verses 8 to 16. That is still page 1087. And Michelle Cohen is going to come and read that passage for us. Thanks, Michelle.
When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realise I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
Here is your king. Let's focus our eyes down to verse 14. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. Do you see here, Pilate is afraid. Pilate's afraid of the crowds. And so Pilate goes back into his palace. "Who exactly is this guy in front of me?" he wonders. Well, John's already told us. This is no surprise to us. This is the one that John has revealed to us right at the start of his gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." Do you see? Do you see? This is creation's king, come to deal with sin. So what should Pilate do with him? "Shall I crucify your king?" he asks. This, the one the prophets hoped for. This, the one who's been shown to be the saviour of the world. This, the one who's come at the end of time to bring about the new creation. "Shall I crucify him?" Pilate cries. But the people don't want him. "We have no king but Caesar," comes the reply. The people here don't want him. Instead of seeking God's kingdom, the people are zealous for Caesar's instead. Instead of wanting their saviour, they prefer their oppressor. Instead of God himself, they choose themselves. This is idolatry at its core. "Here is your king." Whatever the crowd says, this is the king. Whatever the crowd says, whatever Pilate thinks, Jesus is overseeing the whole proceeding. If you have eyes to see, Jesus is the king. He is in charge. Pilate certainly is not in charge, is he? Pilate thinks Jesus is innocent, but he can't release him. Pilate is afraid of the crowds, but there's no one there to comfort him. Pilate asks Jesus questions, but he gets no answers. And in the end, Pilate joins in with the crowds. I guess all Pilates need somewhere to land. "Here is your king." The Jews are rejecting their king. Pilate is rejecting the king. The world rejects its king. But Jesus is the king. If you have eyes to see, you will notice that Jesus is not out of control. The whole proceedings are not out of Jesus' control. Jesus is fulfilling everything he's planned from the beginning. The true judge of all is sitting in the judgment seat. And the people, the world, is found guilty. Here is your King, Heavenly Father. We know that our sin, that our rejection of you, requires justice. We know that we are naturally at war against you. As we read these words this afternoon, we reflect on the way that we do reject your reign over us, and that we've rejected your reign over us this very week. So, Father, in a moment of silence, we bring before you now those things we've done, those things we ought to have done, those things that have stood against you.
How?
Father, we ask your forgiveness. But Father, we praise you that though Jesus could have stopped this whole situation, he went ahead with it for us and for our salvation. We thank you that the one through whom all things were made, without whom nothing was made that has been made, allowed his creation to go ahead and find him condemned. We thank you that those hands that flung stars into space, that formed man, allowed those hands to be crucified on a cross. Father, we praise you for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, Charles Wesley, reflecting on this scene in John, rejoiced, yes, finished, the Messiah dies, cut off for sins but not his own. He understood what the King, what the Christ, what the Messiah was doing there at the cross. And so he wrote this song we're going to sing now. So we're going to sing those words in our next song, yes, finished, the Messiah dies. So please stand and sing as the music starts.
Complete.
Our third reading this afternoon comes from John 19, verses 17 to 30. And it's still on page 1087. James Bird is going to come and read for us now. Thanks, James.
So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, for that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarments remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another, "but let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
It is finished. Let's focus on verse 30 for our final slot. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The end of the story. But what story? If you were there, standing at the cross on that day, you would have seen a man dying a criminal's death. You would have seen a man hanging on the cross in humiliation. You would have seen a man hanging on the cross under the power of the Roman state. You'd have seen the end of a story. But if you have eyes to see, you'll have seen the goal of salvation's story. The completion of God's plan from the beginning of time achieved there on the cross. It is finished. The payment for the sin of the world done. The fulfillment of the scriptures done. Everything that God has spoken in history come to fruition. Passages like Psalm 22. "Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. Save me from the mouth of the lion." It is finished. Passages like Psalm 69. "Scorn has broken my heart and left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." It is finished. As Jesus fulfills each of those words spoken and experienced by King David, He's experiencing those words spoken by King David about the king to come. Words that are written hundreds of years in advance, showing that Jesus is fully in charge. This is a careful, planned, meticulously detailed control shown here, bringing everything to its intended conclusion. It is finished. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The end of the story. But if you have eyes to see, it's the start of a new one. Because it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Sovereign Lord, we praise and thank you that Friday was only the start of that awesome weekend. We thank you that you have control over the whole of history. Thank you that even at the moment when it seemed things were most out of control, things were never more in control. Thank you for the confidence we can have that you can work all things for the good, for the salvation of your people. Thank you that the Lord Jesus died that death, even death on a cross. We thank you that the Lord Jesus was assigned a grave with the wicked, even though no wickedness could be found in him. We thank you that the Lord Jesus was buried with the rich in his death, that that tomb was there on display for all to see. We praise you that the innocent died in place of the guilty, that the unstained died in place of the dirty, that every sin was laid on him and he took them all. Thank you that the sinless died in place of us, the sinners. Thank you for that first Good Friday. Help us to grasp the enormousness of it right now and praise you for it. And help us to know that it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Amen. So what is going on at the cross? Well, it's the payment of sin for all of those who believe, as the curse is dealt with once and for all. It is the king being crowned and shown in his full kingliness, his glory on display. It is finished. The goal of the salvation story, the fulfillment of all of God's promises. If you have eyes to see this afternoon, that is what is going on at that first Good Friday. And so what better way to finish our gathering this afternoon than singing of that cross, of thinking over that cross, of surveying that cross. So we're going to stand and sing, "When I Survey That Wondrous Cross." Let's stand and sing with gusto.
I survey. his life blood.
John 19, verse 38 says, later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus bought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 35 kilograms. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Jesus' body is laid in a tomb. Jesus' body is laid in a new tomb. Jesus' body is buried in the ground in a garden. Like a grain of wheat planted into the ground, dying to bring life. The one buried being the one who called the dead out of the tomb before. The one in whom was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. It is Friday. But Sunday's coming.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we praise you that on that very first Good Friday, you were at work. Thank you that the very first Good Friday was truly good for us. Thank you that we can see Jesus paying the price for our sin as our King, fulfilling everything you promised. And we thank you that this is all according to plan and that Jesus' death is matched by his resurrection on that glorious Easter Sunday. So, Father, work in our hearts right now. Cause us to reflect on what is written here in John 19. Help us to believe that this Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing we can have life in his name. May that be true for each and every one of us this afternoon. Whether that's for the first time or for the 100th, cause us to completely rely on the Lord Jesus, to trust him completely with what he says about himself, and to find life in him. Amen.